singers, the drummer, the keyboardist. Praise the Lord. Amen. I had one of those mornings. Anybody had one of those mornings? For the first time in 17 years of being saved, I sat on my couch this morning and I said, yeah, I said it. I didn't just feel it. I said it. I don't want to go to church. For the first time, I couldn't believe it. How many people felt like that this morning? But I actually said it. I couldn't believe it, man. I said, what's wrong with me? And then on top of that, I got up and I went to the shower. Still had my clothes on, you know. And you know, how many know sometimes you got to switch on the shower, let it run for a while, get the cold water out, yeah? Yeah. So, and then sometimes the hose is kind of like pointing the wrong direction if you're not actually in the shower, yeah? And the hose is pointing in the wrong direction. You can switch on the shower and then all the cold water comes out and just gets you all over you, yeah? But I'm smarter than that, yeah? So what I done, I went to the shower, I saw where the hose was and I turned it and I made it face that direction against the wall. And then I made sure I turned the gauge to it turns to hot. It's one of them mornings I had today, by the way. And then I switched on the shower. And people know the devil's a liar. Did you? Guess what happened? Ask me what happened. You know, for some diabolical, nefarious, evil, diabolical plan, it's like the hand of the devil took the shower, turned it back towards me, and this rush of cold water just hit me, man. Wow. All that came out of my mouth was, praise the Lord. Amen. And I knew I should stay at home. Amen. But I'm glad I made it this morning. I'm glad I needed to meet with God today. Now I know why there was such a struggle in my spirit. Amen. And I just thank God for His grace and in His presence. I just thank God that we got the sense to realize that He is God. In spite and despite what we might get up to or what takes place in our lives sometimes. How many people know it's just good to just, you know, not be in denial? Oh, praise the Lord. And I ain't talking about a river in Egypt. Amen. It's good to not be in denial. You know, our thoughts and our actions, our words and our deeds may not all align up to where we should be, but we're going to get there. Amen. But we're not going to, just because there's a little bit of, you know, ambiguity and crookedness over here in our lives. Amen. It's good to not be in denial, to know that He is the Most High God. And besides Him, there is no other God. If you ever fall into the trap of just denying Him and rejecting Him, let me tell you something, that altars need to be removed from our lives. Inspire that. Listen, don't mix it where your life may be at with whether or not you recognize that there is only one God, one true God. Because sometimes we can get it twisted. Praise the Lord. Somebody say, He is the Most High God. He is the one and only true God. And there is no other God beside Him. You are the Most High God. Thank you, Lord. Fathers, we are gathered here today around Your word, and with each other today. We pray and we commit, Lord, Heavenly Father, the reading of Your word, the preaching of Your word, the elaborating, the illuminating of Your word into Your hands, that by Your spirit, we pray that You will overshadow and saturate every heart, every mind, every soul in this place. We pray, Lord, that You will quicken us right now, quicken the ears that You have given us, Heavenly Father, not just the physical ears, but the spiritual capacity, Father God, to see, to have spiritual acumen and to discern and to decipher, Lord, what the spirit of the living God is saying to us. Those who have ears to hear, let them hear, says the word of the Lord today. Father, we pray, Lord, my God, that You'll just anoint me, Father God. Use me, Father God, and anoint the words that go forth. May they be of You, and may they sit and rest on that good soil of each and every man's, woman, and child's heart in this place. And everyone said, amen. Praise the Lord. I'm just going to read a portion of scripture this morning. It's found in John chapter 17. I'm going to read from verse 14 to verse 20. Amen. And I said I'm going to start something. Amen. And it's called, and this one, I believe, titled Not of This World. Somebody say, Not of This World. Not of This World. I don't know how long this is gonna go for, but let's see what happens. I mean, one of my reasons this morning for being a bit oppressed and depressed because I weren't really, you know, I didn't know what God wanted to do, what he wanted to say. So I'm going to step out by faith and put some stuff together. And I said, God, you're going to have to have your way. And I'm going to trust you on a different level today. And even though we need to trust God. Amen. Somebody say, not of this world. Not of this world. Amen. And the word of God reads, John chapter 17, verse 14 to 20. Says, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by truth. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their words. Somebody say, not of this world. And you can be seated. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. This portion of text here is commonly called by many Bible commentators one of the greatest prayers, or the great prayer of Jesus Christ. He's just at that point where he begins to, from verse 1 of 17, he begins to talk about how this is his hour, this is his time. You'll notice that many times as you read the Gospels, there were many times when people came to Jesus and he always kept telling them, it's not my time. It's not my time. Remember at the wedding in Cana in Galilee, and his mother sent servants to him and said, listen, we've run out of wine and we need you to do something miraculous. We need you to really, really, you know, do what you can do. Do something supernatural and miraculous in this place. And he said, it is not my time. This is not my hour. He said, woman, what have I to do to you? And many times Jesus was apt to say, it's not my time. But at this time, he says, now this is my time. This is what I've been born for, and this is what I've created. I've come into this world to do. So here he's praying now, and one of the things he's praying for, and he's in verse one. It starts from verse one. He starts to say that he says, verse four. He says, "I finished my work, which you've given me to do." So he prays to the Father. He tells the Father, "I finished my work. This is it. This is my time." And then he prays for those he's leaving behind. Somebody say, I'm going to leave something behind. And he also prays for the legacy of the future. And I think it's important to say that when many of us, we want to leave something behind, we say we want to leave a legacy. How many people know that legacy isn't just something that you leave behind, but it's something that you place within your future? Amen. He wants the work. He started something, and he wants it to perpetuate and to continue. Amen, into the future beyond him. Because there is a future where you and I in this world will not be. So when we say we want to leave something behind, what we're effectively saying is that we want to establish something that will go into the future where we will not be. Somebody say that's legacy. Legacy ain't just leaving it behind. It's establishing something. And that's what we want to do with our sons and our daughters. Come on, somebody. We want to leave a mark in this world that will continue and perpetuate after we have gone. That will travel and travel through time. Amen. Years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years when we're not here. So Jesus, he's here praying. He's come. He's finished his work. And he doesn't want his work to be wasted. Amen. He wants to see the fruit of his work continue and perpetuate through time and through the future. So he begins to pray, and he begins to pray for those that he's leaving there, for his disciples. And also he prays for you and me. I don't even know he's praying for you and me. He says, verse 20, he says, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. That's legacy. I ain't just praying for what's back here. No. But I'm praying for what's ahead of me. That's legacy. I'm not just praying for them. I'm not just leaving something here for the sake of leaving something here. I'm leaving something here because what I'm leaving here, I want it to continue. I want it to perpetuate. Oh, come on.
So as he's praying now, we see the one of the major concerns in the life of Jesus as he's making this great prayer, what is known as his great prayer, this as he's establishing something that's going to continue. And one of the factors, one of the subject matters of his prayer, he begins to talk about this world. Somebody say the world. Because and we could gather from this that hey, if there's one thing that's going to frustrate, if there's one thing that's going to come against what the Lord has established here in this earth and what he wants to continue through the lives of the people, amen, the one thing that could come against it is the world. Somebody say the world. His prayer highlights to us, amen, the reality of the world. How many people know sometimes the world don't get enough, I say, credit or mention? We talk about the world this and the world that, but sometimes if we're not aware and we're ignorant of really what the world is and what the world can do and the philosophy of the world and its agenda, and this is one of the things that Jesus is markedly praying about. He starts to pray about the world. Now the Greek word there for world is cosmos. And when you look at the Greek, it means that he says, I'm concerned about this world. This world hates them. This cosmos hates them because they're not of this cosmos. And the word cosmos, it means system. It means I'm concerned about this, the system and how things run and the flow of this world. I'm concerned about the values and the principles and the ideologies and the philosophy of this world. I'm concerned about how this world tries to control people's minds and tries to lead them and tries to guide them and tries to instruct them. He says he's praying about the world. Somebody say the world. And begins to, and then he actually gives the world almost a personality. He says, I'm concerned about this world because this world hates them. He says, the world hates them. And then when you look at that the word hate there, it means that the world, this world, the system that is set up, how this world runs. Everything from politics, from media, from the news, from the values and what is esteemed and what is counted worthy or not worthy, it is set up to be in pursuit, to have a hatred that pursues and detests and has ill feelings for the people of God. It's set up against you. And you wonder, well, how can a system hate? Well, the 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4, Paul writes and says and refers to that there is a God of this world. That there is a ruler. In fact, in John 18, Jesus refers to him. He says, the prince of this world is coming, but he ain't got nothing on me. So there is a personality, there is a person whose area of domain, amen, and I say domain, who where he runs, where he controls, and that is Satan, that is the devil, Beelzebub, call him whatever you want to be, that lion, serpent, whatever, but his domain is the world, it's the system of the world, it's been given to him, it is what he runs it. Jesus calls him the prince of this world. Paul calls him small g, the God of this world. And in 1 John 2:15 to 17, the word of God, the apostle John tells, he says, listen, be careful about this world. He says, do not love the world or the things of the world. Because anyone who loves the world, the love of the Father is not in them. He says, because all that's in this world is the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. And basically, what that's saying is that what this world esteems, what this world values, what this world says should be and how it should be, and what is worthy of platitudes and plaudits, and what where we should go, and what is important. It is counterproductive. It does not value God or the things of God. And remember, Jesus said the world hates you. It hates you. And the Bible says, do not love the world. So what's it saying? It's saying that it's telling us then we could infer from that hey, the world hates us, but yet the world wants us to love it. The world wants to captivate people and enamor them and cause them to fall in love with it, with its ideologies and its philosophy. But the Bible says, don't love the world. Be careful what you buy into. Be careful about the system of this world. Be careful about its principles and its values and what it esteems, because it may look good on the outside. It may look pretty and it may look all, yeah, it makes sense. But remember, at the back of it, undergird, the substratum, the agenda of this world is hatred. It hates you. The world hates you. The world has ill intent for you and I. It may look good over here, but at the bottom of it, when you strip away the accolades and you take off the makeup. Hello, and some of us guys that are wearing these things, we take it off it. You realize that the world ain't got nothing good for you. They never had a good intention. The world wants you to fall in love with it, but it has no intention of going the full course with you and I. John, 1 John 2:15 says, listen, everything in this world is fading away. It's passing away. So never, yet the world wants you and I to love it and to fall in love with it and agree with it and say yes and amen. But the world is planning to check out. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me? It wants you and I to fall in love with it, but it plans on leaving us. Tell your neighbor, don't love the world. It says, don't. So, and yet the Bible tells us the world hates us, but it tells us also that God loves us. John 3:16 says that God loves the world. And when it says world there, it means the population of the world. Not how the world is run, not the world's system. So cosmos, this word cosmos is system, how things are done, how people think. Yeah, and even though it's, the world is always changing and switching. There's no absolutes. It doesn't say like, this is it. 20 years ago, this was it. 10 years now, as people's attitudes and feelings change, the world changes to fit you and I, to accommodate our feelings. Why? Ask me why. Because it wants you to fall in love with it. It wants to keep you on the hook. Doesn't want to offend you. Oh, come on, somebody. Yeah, it will rather be in relationship with you and I. It would rather stick with you and I, be join you and I to it with a lie, because it dare not tell us the truth and separate us. It rather let's work this out with a lie. That's what the world does. Anybody ever dated somebody who was like the world? Hallelujah. That's what the world does. The world is incompatible. It switches and it changes. Once upon a time in our society, certain things, man, that would never happen. Never happen. And the world was there saying, yeah, I got you, babe. Never happen. But as time switches and changes in the world, I could get this one too. I'll switch and change. Now this is legal, and now that's legal, and that's allowed, and that's not allowed, and come on, someone, that's the world. And God is saying, don't be careful, don't become enamored or trapped or caught up in that system. Notice how the world will always want you to reject the one absolute, the one consistency. The world has, the Bible says that anyone who loves the world, the love of God's not in them. In other words, it's impossible to love the world system and be experiencing and have God's love working, God's power working through your life. Because they're incompatible. Because God is completely opposite to the world. Completely opposite. God will tell you the truth. Oh, praise the Lord. I said, God will tell you the truth. I said, God will tell you the truth in love. Amen. Praise the Lord. God tells us the truth. God won't give you popular lies. Won't give you popular lies in place of the offensive truth. Hallelujah. And that's what the world does. What's popular? It's afraid to offend because it wants to keep us. Now, 2 Corinthians 4 verse 4 says that the God of this world blinds. I'm going to go somewhere this soon. I'm believing that God has something for somebody today. That there's this wrestling and there's this struggle, and I believe that God has something very, very, very prophetic, and there's going to be an anointing and a grace released to someone's life. Amen. And something's going to happen. Decisions and choices are going to be made where you're not just going to sing that God is the Most High. There's going to be a bowing and a yielding and a surrendering in your life that's going to lead to breakthrough, perpetual breakthrough for the rest of the days of your life. Something's going to happen. Bible says that the God of this world blinds. Somebody say blinds. And I could almost, when you read it, you can almost get the picture like that we don't have no choice. That the devil could just come and just blind and blind and put a veil over you. Blind, I'm keeping you blind. I'm keeping you blind and keeping you blind. And because he doesn't want you to see the truth. Doesn't want you to realize the truth. Doesn't want you to accept the truth. But how many people know that's not really what it's communicating? How many know you got to cooperate? You got to choose to deny truth. Or choose to accept it. You got to choose to embrace a lie. Or deception. Let's not take away the responsibility that we have. And sometimes even those of us who know the truth, amen, we can have certain truths operating in our lives, but over here, because we got our own little system going on, our own little world system over here, we could want to reject that truth and accept a lie over here. So somebody, how many people know that you gotta it's not just the devil lying to people. We choose what we want to obey or follow or believe. John 18 verse 36 says this. Jesus says, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not of here." So again, just to highlight it. So there's the kingdom of darkness, the world. Then there's the kingdom of light, God's kingdom. And we're not going to go into what's kingdom, and that's not the subject matter today. But I just want to talk about how is truth, how we get challenged with truth throughout our lives, from when we were young, amen, but when we started to come of age and we wanted to, how many people have grown up a bit? You remember being challenged with truth. You make choices, you make decisions, whether to accept God, reject God, or part God up. And people know what I'm talking about. There's a scripture, it says John chapter 3, verse 18 to 21 says, "He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." And verse 19, this is the crux of it. "And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil." Did you hear that? Choice. I'll put my hands up. Sometimes stuff happens to me, and I'm like, okay, God, I'll go with that. Then sometimes it's something else, and I'm going to do this. And you can make all types of excuses. But the bottom line is this: you love darkness, or you love this, and you don't really want this of God. And God comes and says, and then shines a light to your life, and then you're stuck in this valley of decision for your life. And how am I going to live my life? How am I going to operate? What am I going to do? Am I going to honor God and let the light shine, or kind of like, especially Christians, you know, I'm going to assume we're all saved in here. You know, we're kind of like pretend like we never heard. Pretend like we never saw. And the truth is, and you can make all kinds of excuses, dress it up, and the bottom line is, we love darkness. We want to do what we want to do, when we want to do, how we want to do. Yeah, one of the greatest, I know we've all said this, "Leave me alone, let me make my own mistakes." Don't tell lies. Because nobody in their right mind wants to make their own mistakes. Yeah, yeah. You just think you can work your system and make it work, and not buy into God's system. Are you hearing me? That's all it is. Come on, let's tell the truth. Yeah, because nobody in their right mind wants to go and make a mistake. I mean, who meant that? I want to make my no. I don't want to make no mistake. But I just don't want to do it how you're doing it. I don't want to do it God's way. I don't want to do it that righteous way because me love darkness. Yeah? Yeah, I want to do my thing. Yeah, let me, yeah, mom, yeah, dad, I know, you've been telling me that for ages, but let me park God up. Hello, somebody. Yeah, let me just park God up and do my thing. And the reason you want to do your thing is because you love darkness. Come on. Can I tell the truth here? Yeah? Because let's not go to Egypt and jump, but let's not be in denial. Yeah? Praise the Lord. Amen. Romans 1. Let me help you out. Romans 1 verse 18 says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth." Oh, hallelujah. So it says the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all unrighteousness. In other words, it's telling us, listen, we have a conscience. And let me tell you something. We can lie good to ourselves. But the Bible says that everything is revealed to us. Amen. And we can skip it, hop over it, jump over it, swim around it, tunnel under it, fly a kite all over it. But at the end of the day, we're just suppressing it. We sidestep things in our lives. We sidestep moves of God. We sidestep when God is trying to reach us and communicate to us. And how many people know God loves you? But the world hates you. See, God, the world has a system and a way of thinking and a way of doing things and a way of operating. The world has its own ideals and values and philosophy and ideology, how you should do things and how you should operate and do it this way and do it that way. But God has a completely different way, opposite. Yeah, the world will tell you to be great, exalt yourself, and then Jesus will come along and say, humble yourself and serve. Come on, somebody. But that's why I like when Jesus says, listen, the prince of this world's coming. He ain't got nothing. Can you remember God's got a completely different system? Yeah, anyway, we'll get there. Let me not get ahead of myself. It says, the wrath of God is revealed against all ungodliness. And as you read Romans 1, we're not gonna break that down now because that goes on and on. And that's not how I want to stick to the text that we started with. But as you read, if you study Romans 1 from up until verse 32, it talks about how God can reveal things to you. And then you reject it. And because you reject truth, sometimes we think that we can reject truth and still go straight. The rejection of truth will always lead to error and crookedness. Are you hearing me? Whether you like it or not, the rejection of truth will always lead to error and crookedness and vanity and waste in our lives. It's as simple as that. Like it or not. There's no middle ground. There is no middle ground. You can't reject truth and get a result. You may get something that looks like a result. Trust me, I've had loads of them. Yeah. Woo! Shando! My system worked. But any people know the word of God says, listen, unless the Lord builds that house. Amen. Unless the Lord watches, unless God was in it, building it with you, it may look like it's working. It may look like you're just pulling off a major coup that nobody else could pull off. Oh, Lord, have mercy. But let me tell you, it always comes tumbling down. I said it always comes tumbling down. And as you read Romans 1 and you read, we're going somewhere with this soon. It talks about how God will reveal this and man will reject that. And then they live this way, and they operate. And the more you reject truth, the The more you reject God, the more you how do we say in the East End? Copper deafen. How many people know what I was like? You copper deafen. You know them, you get tired of your room and they go on like, said so they never heard you. 3 months, you're telling your kid tired of your room. And then they start telling you about, why you always moaning at me? Why you always keep saying to me? Because you ain't done what I told you to do in the first place. Yeah. Now I'm going tired of you. They call it copping the deafen. And you just twisted and perverse. And if you look at society, I don't even know society is just getting more twisted, is getting more perverted. Now, let me get this out there now while it's legal. Now you've even got pedophiles saying that we want the right to practice pedophilia because like everybody else, we're born this way. Yeah, and society is like abhorred. How could they? But let me tell you something. Society, the world used to be abhorred about other lifestyles. But now it's like, no, that's all right. It's acceptable. Could there be a day in this world system where it becomes legal to practice pedophilia? Think about the world. That's just the world system. Are you hearing me? The world changes. Doesn't want to offend anybody. Just wants to accommodate people. Praise the Lord. Can we move on? So Jesus, as he's praying, he's praying for this. Back to the text now. He's praying for them. He says, "You know what? Don't take them out of the world." How many people know God is not interested in our comfort as he is as much about our godlikeness? He says they're in this hateful environment that is structured to hate them and prey upon them. But I want to tell you something. Jesus prays. I'm like, what do you mean don't take me out of the world? How many people know sometimes we want to get out of stuff? Some people say, I just want to get out of this job. I just want to get out of this relationship. I just want to get out of this system. And there's some people, because of what they've bought into, the world's system, the world's values, and the world's ideology, and what the world esteems and thinks. And there's some people, they want to get out of their color, bleaching up themselves, because the world says that this color is. You stay there and laugh. Some of you want to get out your body and swap it for somebody else's. You stay there and laugh. Are you hearing me? Why? Because the world says this. Praise the Lord. I'm finding it hard to breathe, man. This thing, I ain't wearing this thing again. Hallelujah. Because the world says this. Tell your neighbor, don't love the world. That's what the world will make you do. Make you want to get out of stuff that God puts you in. Jesus said, I'm praying for them to come out of it. But I'm praying that you give them the power, amen, that so that what they're in won't pollute them, won't corrupt them. And he goes on in verse 17, he says, sanctify them by your truth. Somebody says, sanctify me. Praise the Lord. He's saying, immunize them, vaccinate them with your truth. Give them a vaccination of truth. So that what they're around, the system where they're around, it won't corrupt them. It won't pollute them. Somebody says sanctify. The Greek word is hagiazo. It means to purify. Amen. It means to free somebody from the guilt of sin, to purify them internally and to renew their soul. It means that whatever you're in, that God ain't going to pull you out of it. Because some people know he wants us in it. Amen. But how many know God can make us better in what we're in? And then with what? With truth. Not lies, not with deception. So the way to stay in something, amen, and the way to prosper in something is to be sanctified with truth. I mean, no, the lie the world will want to condemn you, but the truth will tell you that now there's no condemnation. The world will want you to be depressed, oppressed, depressed, and say that everything is hopeless, Amen. But that you ought to just pull your hair out and despair. Amen. But then God's truth will come along and say, hey, listen, you're part of God's kingdom. You've bought into God's system. You've bought into the ideals and the values and the principle of God. And God says, listen, the world may tell you to despair and all that kind of stuff, but I'm telling you to count it all joy right now, because I'm about to turn this thing around and you're about to see that all things will work together for good. And the world will tell you that, listen, you're wasting your time. You don't be sowing into this and don't be believing that and don't be doing that. But then God's truth, and as the world's got you there beat up and depressed and oppressed, God's truth will come and sanctify you. Don't pull you out. It will tell you, listen, I am Lord of the harvest, and do not become weary in well-doing, for in due season you will reap a harvest. You will see the results. You will see the change. You will see the breakthrough. Come on, somebody. That's when Jesus says, when Jesus comes and says, listen, the prince, the God of this world is coming, but he ain't got nothing on me. Whatever system, whatever lies, whatever deception he comes with, listen, he ain't got nothing on me. That's why he was able to descend into hell and they couldn't lay a hand on him. Couldn't lay a hand on him. Why? Because he bought in to God's system. He bought into the system of God. He didn't allow himself to be captivated by the world. Amen. I want to finish up on this scripture here. Amen. The keyboardist could come. Praise the Lord. Where's that drum? Where's the drummer, man? Yeah, the drum. Hallelujah. That drummer got some anointing. Hallelujah. 1 Samuel chapter 5. And I want us to read this, and I'm going to pray over the scripture here, right? Because I feel like something prophetic is going to happen to some of us. May God speak personally and intimately to our lives and to our hearts. Every young man and every young woman, every man and woman and child in this place, because this is you and me here right now. It says, then the Philistines took the ark of God and brought it from Ebenezer to Ashdod. When the Philistines took the ark of God, they brought it into the house of Dagon and they set it by Dagon. And when the people of Ashdod arose early in the morning, there was Dagon fallen on its face to the earth before the ark of the Lord. So they took Dagon and set it in its place. And when they arose early the next morning, there was Dagon fallen on its face to the ground before the ark of the Lord. The head of Dagon and both palms of its hands were broken off on the threshold. Only Dagon's torso was left of it. Therefore, neither the priest Dagon nor any who came into Dagon's house tread on the threshold of Dagon in Ashdod to this day. But the hand of the Lord was heavy on the people of Ashdod, and he ravaged them and he struck them with tumors, both Ashdod and its territory. And when the men of Ashdod saw how it was, they said, the ark of God of Israel must not remain with us, for his hand is harsh towards us and Dagon our God. Therefore, they sent and gathered to themselves all the lords of the Philistines and said, what shall we do with the ark of God of Israel? And that is the question every generation will have. What shall we do with the ark of God? Now, the ark of God represents the call of God upon your life, represents the presence of God, represents God's presence in your life, that it represents the conviction that God is bringing to your life and to your heart and to our minds. The ark of God represents the revelation of the will of God. Somebody said the ark of God. These Philistines here now, what had happened, what had taken place here was that they had defeated Israel, God's people, because God's people were kind of out of order. So God was disciplining them. But God's always got a plan. So these people now, they went into the temple and they took the ark of God. So they think they've got God now. They think we've got their God. And they took the ark of the covenant of God and they placed it in the temple of their God. And they worship this God called Dagon. Everybody's got some type of Dagon sometimes. And they put it in there. They kind of park God up. Yeah, you stay there. But this is our God. This is our system. This is how we live our life. This is how we worship. This is how we do things. This is how we run things. This is how I flex in my life. Hello, someone. Yeah, you stay there, God. but this is my God. This is where I bow. This is what I honor. This is what I yield to. This is what I serve. How many people know we've got gods? We've got high places, places of worship. We've got our own system, our own way, how we think. Some of us, we don't even worship something strong. We worship something weak. We worship our fears. Sometimes, some of us, we've got people stuck up there because we're more concerned with what people think than we are with what God thinks. Amen. Some of us, we're not free to do nothing because we're captured by people's opinions. Every time you try to do something, you're stopping and thinking, well, this person, you, sometimes we check with 100 people. Oh, you don't have to say amen. Been there, done that. You're checking with 100 people that don't even care. But for some reason, we've got them set up somewhere on the altars of our hearts and our lives. It's called the fear of man. So they brought the Ark of God into their temple. And then they're celebrating, saying, yeah, we got God. And that's how sometimes we're like, we got God. But how many people know we ain't got God? At the end of the day, God's got us. That's how it ends up being. God's got us. And here's God trying to give these people here opportunity. He's giving them, they think they've got God. They think they've captured God, parked him up. Yeah, you just rest there. But they don't know what God's got them. And the only reason he's allowed them to take him there and to experience him is so that they will get an opportunity to see his power in their lives. So they've got their God. So they go to sleep. And this God that they have erected, they wake up the next morning. And Dagon's on the floor. Face down. So they've what? Their God's been on, fell down, broke down. It didn't work out. The system that they were running, hello somebody, was on the floor, face down. And what do they do? What do we do? Instead of realizing and waking up, hey man, there's something going on here, man. God's trying to talk to me. God's trying to tell me something. This must be God. Let me pay attention to God. Let me give God my ear. Let me give God my heart. Let me give God an opportunity in this era of my life. No, 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 no. Nah, drop me out. They went and picked Dagon back up and put him back up, stood him back up. I said, nah, it was coincidence. That ain't God speaking to me. That ain't God calling me. Yeah, yeah. You know how we do it? We suppress truth. Now, part God, that ain't got nothing to do with God. That ain't God. That's just man. That's my mom. That's my dad. That's just the part. That ain't God. You know how we do it? I'm sure. But I was just thinking about that, you know. He just said that. And you know how we do it? Just dismiss it. So anyway, they pick Dagon back up. They gone to bed and they came back. And the next morning now, Dagon again is on his face. This time his head's broke off. Hands are cut off. How many people, you've been pushing something and you've been pushing it and picking it back up and picking it back up and picking it back up. I reckon today that here's somebody here now, there's something you can't just pick up so easy now because it's broke. It is broke. That thing is broke, busted. And you've been in this struggle. There's this struggle, there's this battle you've been in, man. And God's just trying to get you to just turn and yield and just say, trust me. Stop trying to work your thing, your system. And people, you've been there. I don't even know what I'm talking about. You see, I know what I'm talking about, but I don't even know what I'm talking about. When you're just wrestling and God's trying to get you to just yield and just surrender this area of your life and trust him, but you're just battling. Some of you are some fighters, boy. You fight God. It's spent years fighting God, picking back up, doing it again, picking back up and doing it again, picking back up, and this time the thing's busted. And you know what they've done? You know what we do? They got the glue out. They got the glue out and the bandage and the head, and they're sticking this thing back together. What are people stubborn? I don't even know what you know what I'm talking about. We're doing our thing again. We want to work our system. They took the glue out. And they're sticking, and some of us, we stuck some relations, found some sticky people and some sticky things. How do you know what I'm talking about? Because just part God up. Don't want to work God's system, it's too long. But we spent years sticking this thing back together. And now we're going to try and erect it again. Wow. Are you hearing me? Can you see it there? So now we've got this thing in our life now, and it's all patched up. But we've got God parked up. The Bible then goes on to say that after that, man, just plagues and disease and brokenness start to hit their life. And this is where what happens to many, many people now, pray, don't happen to us. They start looking now. They're realizing now, hey, listen, man, God's on my case. Now it's like, let's find somewhere to park. Let's park God up somewhere else. How many people know what I'm talking about? Let's park God somewhere. Let's just cut out. Let's get, I don't even want to hear God right now. Because the more that light shines, the more he's there, I keep feeling this conviction, this struggle. I can't get out of this battle. But I know that I'm in the house of some people who understand that the kingdom of heaven will suffer violence. But the violent take it by force. And I think God wants me to just encourage somebody today. Stay in the battle. Bible says that David was a man after God's own heart. Not because he was perfect, but he stuck with it until breakthrough came. You see, these people refuse. They want to do it their way. And got to the point where they said, you know what? Somebody come and take the presence of God. Let me just offload God. But how many people know we need to be a people that just keep God in our lives? There's a thing called failing or falling, but how many know there's a thing called falling forward? That sooner or later, I'm telling you, God is telling me, sooner or later, you're going to fall into the right place. Stick with your struggles. Stick with your battles. Don't ever get to the place where you just want to just offload God and say, God, I quit. I give up. I'm going to hand this over. Come on, somebody. We're going to keep fighting. Keep God in the picture. Keep doing what you need to do. Come on, somebody. Keep doing it. And I'm telling you something. Don't even give up on yourself, because God is not giving up on you. These people, God was trying to tell these people, listen, I am the Most High God. No matter what you erect, no matter what you stick together, it's all going to come to nothing. I am the Most High God. Start to worship me. Start to put me first. And you begin to see change. You begin to see that transformation. And I just want to, God wants to encourage somebody. Yes, come on, stand with me today. That's why that song this morning, man, you are the Most High God. That's all these people had to do. Instead of going away and trying to fix things themselves, all it took was to just recognize, hey God, you are the Most High God. I'm not going to deny it. I'm not going to reject you, God. You are the Most High God. In fact, there's only one God in this place. There is no other God besides you. There's only one true God. You are the Most High God. And this, I don't know, in Christianity there's much preaching, but one thing I've learned, sometimes I can't fix myself. I can't fix myself. I can't make myself perfect. I've tried. I used to beat myself up every day, man, for weeks and months. Until one day I just said, I felt the Lord saying, give yourself a break. I will perfect you. And I will perfect everything that concerns you, Scripture says. It just takes an acknowledging that He is the Most High God. It takes praying for the heart to follow after. Because sometimes we know what we need to do. And we're trying to do it in our own strength. One of the things I pray, I said, God, just give me a will, even to pray. I pray that I will pray. I said, Lord, help me to pray. Convict me to pray. Help, give me a love. Even help me to get to church. Hello, somebody. Anything you need to happen in your life, anything that needs to be taken place, instead of trying to do it in your own strength, pray about it. If you need to pray, pray about praying. Reactions, responses, feelings, and how you cope, how you act, pray. Because He is the Most High God. Altars need to be removed. Whenever God's presence came into a city or community or generation, the leader of that community will be the king. And you are the king or the queen of your life. Will command and say, listen, every high place must be torn down. How many know we need to be able to recognize the places of false worship, the Dagons in our lives, the things that we set up that are in direct opposition to what God's speaking to our lives. Come on, can you lift your hands this morning as we pray and I'm going to worship. Father, right now, all over this place, Heavenly Father, we thank You for the grace of Your word, Your power. Lord, You spoke to us, Your people, Your children, Father God. And we decree and we declare, we confess that You are the Most High God. We refuse and we reject lies. And Father God, we draw near to You. Your word says, draw near to You and You'll draw near to us. Right now, all over this place, Father God, hear the cry of our lives. We're tired of building systems. We're tired of picking something back up and trying to make it work. May there be a brokenness. May there be a surrender.
Yes, You are the Lord. Most High. Yes, You are the Lord. Most High. Yes, You are the Lord. Most High. Yes, You
much. Right now, before we go, we're gonna just the altars are open. We just want to pray with some people, and this is what we want to pray with you. Just those of you who made the altar call feel the need to make the altar call today. And altar calls are good. It's like baptism. It's like, you know what, you're just making a conscious effort to acknowledge God and His personal word to your life. It ain't about people. Don't make it about people, what people might think, because we've spent too many times living in the shadow and the prison of people's opinions, and their opinions don't help you, don't heal you, they don't deliver you, they don't set you free, they don't give you breakthrough. We're always worrying about what our people think. I want us to we're going to pray, and this is you. If you've got something today that God's been, you know, you've been trying, and it ain't so much what you've been trying and what you've been doing, it's what you ain't been doing. Because many, many, many times people will tell you, well, you stop doing this and stop doing that. But I believe with God, it's not about what you've been doing. It's not about stopping something. It's about starting something. Because the only time you're ever going to stop something that you need to stop is if you've got something else to start doing. Are you hearing me? It's like raising kids, children. You're always telling children, stop doing this, stop doing that. And all they hear is stop, stop, stop. Come on, somebody. We need to hear some start, start, start. God is saying it's time. You heard me. You've heard me. You've heard my voice. I've knocked upon the door of your heart, and I'm calling you to consecrate yourself to me. I'm calling you, God, says the Lord, not to give up your hopes and not to give up your dreams, but to place them in Him. Stop trying to make this thing, whatever it is, happen yourself. Stop working your system, working your strength. Don't do it how the world does it. God says, do something radical with your life and trust Him. Be that man and that woman of faith. Faith. You started off by faith, and something happened between the day you started by faith and today. All of a sudden, it's no longer faith. It's more about works and what you can manufacture and what you can make happen and what you can fight for. But God says, if it starts with faith, let it continue with faith and let it finish with faith. Somebody in this place, turn away and from a certain course of action and turn more so to God. Surrender. Bring that pain and bring that hurt. You've been carrying a burden. I sense and I feel someone here carrying a burden. And even as the word was going forth, you felt God touching that burden. You felt tears. You felt your heart being touched. God says that's a burden you're carrying. It's a burden that you should be putting on Him, says the Lord. It's a burden He wants to take from you, says the Lord. I want to encourage you to make the altar call today also. And may the grace of God fall upon you, fall upon your soul, fall upon your life. And may the weight and the burden that you've been carrying, may the grace of God flood you and saturate you like never before in Jesus' name. May the living God appear to you. There's something very prophetic taking place today. Samuel chapter 3, the Bible talks about how God began to appear to the people again through His word. God will reveal Himself. God will sharpen your life via His word. Via His word to your life. Via His word to His heart. And once again, the people began to realize that God had visited them via His word, that there was a prophet, that there was a prophetic anointing in the house of God once again for this generation. Speaking to people's personal lives, not something manufactured, not a message that entertains, but a message that speaks to people's lives with the power of God on it. Because entertainment don't bring yoke. It's the anointing of God. It's the anointed word of God that brings change and transformation.
God says, bring that burden. And lift that hand as a sign of surrender. Start now as you mean to go, surrendered and yielded. Start now that prayer life. Start praying for that prayer life right where you're at. Or come to this altar and say, God, stir within me a heart for prayer. Stir within me a desire to pray. Stir within me a desire for your word. Stir within me the conviction, Heavenly Father, to find the house of God. And to be, and once again, stir revival. Restore to me, O God, the joy of my salvation. Let there be a revival in your soul. Let there be a restoration in your soul. Let that flame that is let that flame be fanned into a fire, a consuming fire of worship. In Jesus' name. Come on, if you're here in this place, then I want to invite you to the altar right now as we begin to worship. And we'll pray with you before we leave this place today. Come on, just lift your altar, just lift your hands, lift your voice, begin to pray. Engage with your Lord.
Yes, you are the Lord. Most high. 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 Yes, you are the Lord. Yes, you are the Lord.
And the Lord will say unto you that there will be healing. And there will be restoration in your life and in your soul. There will be healing, says the Lord. And I believe the Lord is showing me that there's been an event in your life or something has taken place, but there will be healing for it, says the Lord. And that healing is yours. Healing is the bread of the children. Mashiata kata moram baba baba babu kosiata rebonde kitalanda yoseke reasata yoseke the crown of her head baba God robo boshia de yoseke reanda da 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 boshia da boshata baba da baba may she be a woman, Lord, of extravagant worship. Extravagant worship from the very soul and the core of our heart, Father God. Robo kosandere yoseke. And God is not talking about the songs that you sing. He's talking about the life that you live. As you worship Him, as you exalt Him in your life, He will meet you every step of the way. And you would experience His grace. You'd experience His power. And there shall be a never-ending flow of His mercy and His goodness to your life. Your cup will run over, says the Lord, and goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life. Finally, I believe the Lord will say this, is that many times, and I say that, I believe He says this to all of us, that we park up God, we park Him up, and we put Him over there, and God is saying, the flip side to that is that we need to park up the world and learn how to be still. And God says, anytime you park up the world and just be still before Him and humble yourself before Him,
that he's able to redeem time. He's able to restore to you the years that have been lost. That supernaturally you'll see a move of God, and the world's ideology, the world's philosophy, and where we get captured by in the world is that if we take our hand off of working the system of the world and chasing things and trying to make something happen, and if we stop, we think we're going to lose. But God says, park the world up and learn how to be still before God for a season, and then watch and see what God is able to do. Watch and see what God is able to do in a short amount of time, what has been taken some of us to try and accomplish in 10, 15, 20 years. Watch and see what God is able to do. God says this, you won't lose with him. Do the right thing. And don't get tired doing the right thing. For the word of God says, in due season, at the appointed time, you will see a harvest. And some of us, we've been chasing things, trying to make things happen, and it ain't happened. Dagon has fell down. And he's fallen down again, and we picked him back up, and he's fallen down. We picked him back up, and now his head's cut off, his hands are cut off, and we're chasing shadows, says the Lord. Chasing shadows. God will be a certainty for your life. God cares about your life, and he knows how to give you the desires of your heart. Psalms 37, verse 4. Let's pray. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you for your grace and your power and your love towards our lives, Father God. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have separated us, Father God, graced our lives, and though we are in this world, we are not of this world. May your truth continue to sanctify us, immunize us, vaccinate us, Heavenly Father, from the evil one, Heavenly Father. And we pray that your word spoken to our lives and our hearts, Lord, will rest and abide. We pray, Lord, we'll be a generation, Father God, that will once again turn to you, Father God, afresh and anew. We pray, Lord, a fresh revival and the spirit of restoration will begin to sweep through our lives and our homes and our hearts. We pray, oh God, that you will send a fresh wind of your spirit among us, Heavenly Father. Lord, and we will tarry and we will labor and we will sow to the things of the Spirit and reap of the Spirit everlasting life. Seal your word in every soul's heart and mind in this place here today. And everyone said, amen. Come on, let's give the Lord one more clap offering. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.